It's Finally Friday on Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
Jay Ray, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
So I tell him I'm a blowjob. Now, who do you think they give you?
The Dalai Lama himself.
So he finished 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
I think you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
Stick a fork in me, Jerry. I'm done.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Last hour of the week, myself, Andy, and Charlie answer to today's impossible question. 43% of people have worn these on their head at least once. The answer is a pair of Mickey Mouse ears.
Okay, I never did that.
Charlie has. There you go.
Well, that's 33%.
I haven't either, but.
Who was your favorite old Disney character?
Old Disney character?
I mean, Donald Duck, I believe, is most people's favorite.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
DuckTales and all that kind of stuff. Goofy. A lot of people like Goofy.
Pluto. I don't know. I get confused at times because some of those were, characters back then were either Disney or Looney Tunes, and they were not one and the same.
What about Bluto from Animal House?
No. Okay. So, for example, the chicken and the that was Looney Tunes, wasn't it, Charlie? That wasn't Disney. The big rooster, that was Looney Tunes.
That was Looney Tunes.
Yeah. So
I say, boy.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Some of those you can't play today.
No, you can't.
Yosemite Sam, they took his guns away. He just uses his fingers now. I'm not joking. You watch a new Yosemite Sam, he just uses his fingers. He has no more guns. He just shoots with his fingers.
Oh, come on.
I'm not joking. I am not joking. If you watch a new cartoon now of Yosemite Sam, he shoots, but just with his fingers. And I think they're even going to take that away from him.
Well, in the anime version, he has Uzis. It's pretty cool.
And I'm not joking you.
That's disgusting. By the way, kid movies, we did have some oversight.
By the way, you know when you're a redneck? You know how you're a redneck?
Yeah, how?
Do you know how?
How?
When you just had to have those Yosemite Sam mud flaps, but the kids go hungry. Back off.
That's good.
Just saying.
Really quick here, a couple oversights. Willy Wonka.
But
Gene Wilder was an absolute classic, and he was mesmerizing. Rather recent film, Bumblebee, which came out of nowhere as a kind of a kid version of the Transformers movies and blew the rest of them away. It was much better and was very well received. Jumanji, I think it's a little old.
Okay, before we get too serious here talking about with our next guest, I have some did you knows that a listener sent us.
Let's hear it.
Close but no cigar. During carnivals in the 1800s, cigars were rewarded as prizes for winning carnival games. That's where the phrase, close but no cigar, comes in.
What, for the little kiddies as they throw the ball?
It would have been for adults.
Okay.
At the drop of a hat, instead of a gunshot to indicate that a race had started, in the 1800s it was customary to drop a hat to signal the start of the race. At the drop of a hat.
Okay.
Pull out all the stops. This originated from back when organists would literally pull the stops from every pipe on an organ in order to play at maximum volume.
That makes sense.
Okay. In the nick of time, through the 18th century, businessmen often kept track of debts owed and interest that built on loans by carving nicks on a tally stick. When someone arrived to pay off their debt before the next nick was carved, they'd save that day's worth of interest, hence, in the nick of time.
Never heard of that one.
Burning the midnight oil. In a time before electricity, candlelight or lamp oil was used for lighting. When you stayed up late to work, you literally burned the lamp oil at midnight.
That's pretty obvious.
Jump on the bandwagon. In the mid-1800s, circuses would parade around town before setting up, with bandwagons leading the parade. They drew large crowds, and politicians started renting space on the bandwagons to get face time with an audience.
Again, pretty obvious.
Okay. Get off your high horse. Before cars, owning a horse was a sign of prominence. Since nobility was and high-ranking military officials were primarily the ones who owned them, getting off meant to humble yourself. Get off the horse.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, let's face it, it was the foot soldiers who were the grunts, and it was the guys up on the guys up on the horses who were much bigger. Okay, go ahead.
Dressed to the nines. Do you know where that comes from?
Dressed
to the nines meant that you were rich enough to literally purchase the entire 9 yards it took to make a tailor-fit outfit, including a vest and jacket.
Oh, okay.
Dressed to the nines.
Great.
Mad as a hatter. In the 17th and 18th centuries, hat makers, hatters, often went insane as a result of the mercury poisoning, a side effect of manufacturing felt hats. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Of course, Mad Hatter became, you know, a character.
It did?
Yeah.
In what?
Alice in Wonderland and Batman.
never saw Alice in Wonderland.
He was a villain in Batman.
Okay, real quick, too. Carbon copy, we all know this. Before photocopiers were a thing, copies were made by sliding a piece of carbon paper between an original document and a blank paper. It's also what CC means in your email.
Yeah, we know that.
Carbon copy. Well, you know how many people don't know what carbon copies are, though? I've never seen one.
True.
A lot of young people have no idea what a piece of carbon paper is.
I wonder if Richard would know.
Probably not. I don't think he's ever seen carbon paper.
Okay.
And think about it. Carbon paper hasn't been around since the 80s. Because even when you did carbon copies then, they had that special paper where when you wrote on it, the bottom one made, you know, yeah, they were carbonless copies, I guess. You know what I'm talking about? Like checkbooks. You know, checkbooks today still have that.
Yeah.
It's a chemical reaction or whatever. When you press on it, it makes the...
Do you like that? I kind of like it without that.
Like what?
The checkbooks.
I like the duplicates because you can go back and make sure you wrote the check properly and record it in a little register, right?
Yeah, back up here. Charlie just said they taste funny. You eat your checks?
You eat the check, the blank check, or the... Oh, you taste your fingers, he said.
Is this why his bills never get paid?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I ate it.
By the way, do you hate that person that writes a check in line at the grocery store?
Yes.
I'm not that guy, by the way. I still write checks, but not for that.
Well, we all write checks now and then for bills.
You know how many people don't write a check? Most.
Really?
Most don't write checks. Think about it. Most people either Venmo or they do everything electronically or whatever. Very few people write checks.
Yeah, I mean, we do almost everything electronically, but there are still a few things where the check writing is actually cheaper.
Like?
I forget offhand, John. I'm not going to go into it.
It's wondering. What do you mean it's cheaper? Do you have to pay to do the electronic thing?
Sometimes, yes.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes you have to pay to do with checks instead, so they want you to go all electronic.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay, let's do this. Bruce Simmons is up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. He'd love to help you out with all of your reverse mortgage needs if you're in that market. 62 years of age or older, you're sitting on a pile of equity. He can turn that equity into cash. Call and ask how. 303-467-7821.
You should never need to worry about losing your home in retirement. KLZ's reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has only one goal: to relieve your burden of uncertainty, giving you the confidence that you may stay in your home as long as you wish. Call Bruce Simmons now and breathe a sigh of relief about your housing expenses. You worry about retiring primarily because you don't know what the future holds. The unknown feels daunting. The reverse mortgage loan program exists to give you certainty about the future. You will still need to pay your property taxes and homeowner's insurance, continue living in the home as your primary residence, and maintain your home. But as long as you meet those basic requirements, the Federal Housing Administration guarantees that the bank cannot take your house ever. Call KLZ's reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, with American Liberty Mortgage today and never worry about losing your home again. Call 303-467-7821.
Save the Children is next, and let's save some kids' lives today, even in our own backyard. They're helping kids that right now because of school closings that don't have anything to eat. We can actually save, you know, feed kids, I should say, save kids around the world, but in our own country, we can feed 10 kids 3 square meals for $100. That's how it works. So if you can save some kids today, please do so. 1-800-570-5155 or go to savechildrenklz.org.
When schools first let out because of the COVID-19 crisis, we had no idea what the future held. Then the summer became something that would not include summer school. And now, of course, we know that school, even in the fall, is in question. In all of this, the 30 million U.S. school children who count on school for their nutrition are left hanging in the balance. It's in school that these children get what we take for granted every day, nutritious meals. Save the Children is standing in the gap, and you can too. Your $100 gift to Save the Children today can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for 10 days. $300 can provide that for a child for a month. Call right now, because just saying we're all in this together isn't enough. Today we can do something to help children right here at home. Call 1-800-570-5155. That's 1-800-570-5155. Or go to savechildrenklz.org.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thank you all so much for listening. We do appreciate it very much. Our next guest joining us now, which we've had on before, appreciate him coming back on air with us. It's Hans von Spakovsky. Am I saying that right, Hans? I always get that. I try to get it as right as I can.
Spakovsky. That was close.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. All right, talk to us. You got an article that just came out, published yesterday, and a lot of people, you know, misrepresenting Trump's tweet Thursday. Talk about that, if you would.
Sure. He wasn't saying that he's going to delay the election. He was asking the question, if we go to universal all-male elections, he was raising questions about the risks of doing that, and if that's the way people want to go, should we delay the election until people can vote safely? I think what he was really trying to do was get folks in the media to talk about the risks of all-male elections.
And Von, Hans, I think you're exactly right. That's really how I sort of, I mean, a lot of people got upset, you know, even some conservatives, I think, got upset, but I really don't think they listened carefully to what he was actually saying and what the tweet
right.
even was about, because to your point, he really was just raising awareness to, wait a minute, time out. We're going to have all these states sending out all these ballots to people that may or may not even live there any longer. You know, where is the integrity of all of this if we go down that path?
No, that's right. And look, anybody who thinks this is not a problem, just quickly Google Paterson, New Jersey, and look at the investigation that's going on there now. They decided to go to an all-male election for their municipal elections, which were a couple of weeks ago. The election is now in doubt. And the reason is that they've already arrested four locals for engaging in absentee ballot fraud. And they've had everything from voters saying, I never got my ballot, even though they're recorded as voting, to all these ballots being rejected because the signatures don't match, which is an indication of potential fraud, to, at one point, apparently hundreds of ballots were found bundled together in a neighboring town, not even in Paterson. So there's been all kinds of problems. And also, other voters saying, well, I never got the ballot I requested, indicating that the U.S. Postal Service didn't get them their ballots on time.
You know, and you probably know this, we have mail-in voting here in Colorado. We've had it now for a number of years. But I will also say that, you know, we have a few issues here, Hans, but on the same token, you know, we've got a, you know, Secretary of State, and we've done a lot of things, even community-wise, you know, here in Colorado to keep the election integrity at least as high as possible. But we've been at it for a very long time, and we had our issues
right.
early on. The reality is, if you're brand new to this and you just start out as a state, it's going to be a dismal failure.
No, you're exactly right. Look, Colorado's one of five states that now have all-male elections. You talk to the Secretary of State in any of those states, and they will tell you, for example, the Washington Secretary of State said it took them 5 years
right.
to build up the internal structure and organization to be able to handle that. And again, anybody who thinks this can be done in 3 months in states that don't do this, again, take a look at the New York primary that just occurred. It was June 23rd. They only just now finished counting the ballots. It took them so long to
right.
do it.
Right.
And you know what? The rejection rate of ballots in New York was 20%. One in every five ballots was rejected for all kinds of problems. And they also had big issues with lots of voters saying, the U.S. Postal Service never delivered our ballot to us.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Well, and Hans, let's face it. It's not just a matter of the mechanics of it and being able to do it well. The Democrats would cheat. If they have this thing in their hands, do you honestly think Democrat governors and attorneys general and so forth and Democrat secretaries of state are going to do this honestly? Do you really think they're going to be policing that at all?
No, I don't. I have my doubts about that, too. And you can see it in one particular phenomena that's going on with this. Remember, the folks that are pushing this are saying, oh, well, we've got to have an all-male election because it's just too dangerous
yep.
because of COVID-19
yep.
for people to go vote in person. But at the same time, you'll see that in many of the lawsuits that they have filed to try to force this, and in the bills that Democrats have tried to get through Congress, they put in provisions that override any state laws that ban vote harvesting. In other words, they're trying to force states to allow any third party to show up at people's homes to pick up their absentee ballot. In other words, candidates, party actors, et cetera. Well, if they're worried about COVID-19, what could be worse than legalizing, allowing strangers to go from house to house
yep,
to house and
right.
show up at your front door to pick up your ballot? That doesn't make any
that's
sense.
That's worse, unless, actually, at the end of the day.
It is. It is. Unless you want to give them the ability to, frankly, pressure and intimidate voters
yep.
to vote
that's
a
right.
particular way.
That's you are spot on. And I think, really, that's what, you know, Trump didn't say any of that specifically. Really, what he was talking about was just the enormity of getting a state that's never done this before to do a statewide election. You take a state like, you know, California, we know how big it is. And, you know, or you take a state like New York and you talk about these heavy populated areas and doing mail-in ballots. I mean, it would be an utter disaster. I mean, here in Colorado, Hans, and I've been involved in some things even here in Colorado where we've had some, you know, known fraud issues in certain areas where we've got people checking ballots, not doing that correctly. And again, as a state, you know, we've taken many, many years to do some of the things here in Colorado we do. And we're far from perfect, but I think we probably do it as well as anyone. And we're far from perfect, Hans.
Yeah, and there's just no way. Look, it's only 3 months until the election.
Right.
The idea, again, that a state like Georgia, which has about 6.5 million voters, the idea that they could suddenly gear up to handle 6 million pieces of mail through the absentee balloting process just isn't going to work. And look, here's the other thing people should think about. How many folks listening to your show have had their neighbor's mail delivered to their
house? Oh, a lot. I just did that the other day, by the way.
Right. Well, look, in the 2016 election, about 130 million votes were cast for the two presidential candidates. If we switch to an all-mail election in every state, as the left is pushing, that means all of a sudden the U.S. Postal Service would need to be able to handle 260 million additional pieces of mail in November. Because remember, you've got envelopes and mailing going from election officials out to voters, sending them the ballot, and then the voters mailing it back. Is there anybody out there who really thinks the Postal Service would be able to effectively, efficiently, suddenly handle that much additional mail?
No. No.
And by the way, guys, let's back up for just a moment. We're talking about Colorado as an example of it being done well, pretty well.
Fairly well.
We have to keep in mind, up until very recently, Colorado's Secretary of State was Wayne Williams, a Republican.
That's right.
Do we really think going forward this is not going to become more and more of a problem now?
And we've had our issues here in this state, even when Wayne was doing it. So, yeah, I can only imagine how it's going to be here.
Yeah, honestly, Hans, you know, I happen to be an ex-Democrat. I was raised by that side. And I'm going to tell you guys flat out, this is going to become a massive problem with fraud here in Colorado.
And that's simply what I think really Hans Trump was tweeting out about, really was what it all, that's really what it boiled down to.
Well, look, that is a potential problem. You know, Oregon prides itself on its mail-in system. Some years ago, it was reported that a state university professor did a survey of just one county in Oregon. And she, from the survey, said that 5% of the people they contacted admitted that somebody else had filled out their ballot. And 2.5% admitted that somebody else had signed their ballot. That was just one county, but that would have translated to tens of thousands of votes throughout the state. And none of this was detected by state election officials.
Yeah, and then we have Obama coming out in a eulogy talking about how we just want to make things harder because we want people to have an actual ID to vote. Well, they have to have an ID to do everything else in life. Why not have one to vote?
They had to have an ID to go to any of Obama's campaign events.
Exactly.
No, that's exactly right. Hey, at the time that Eric Holder was his attorney general, and he was ranting about voter ID requirements, guess what you needed if you wanted to get into the Justice Department to talk to him about that? A government-issued photo ID.
Right. Well said. Well said. Good stuff. Hans, it's always a joy having you. Where can folks find out more about you and your work and what you're doing at Heritage?
They can go to heritage.org, heritage.org. And by the way, if they take a look, I have just published a paper on 4 absentee ballot fraud cases in which the elections were overturned because of fraud.
Okay. And, you know, that's the other thing that Trump was actually talking about is, wait a minute, time out. If we end up doing all of this, who's going to certify all of this and know the results on time to even have things handled correctly by the time inauguration is in January?
Yeah, that's a big potential problem.
And he's right in everything that he said. He wasn't saying delay the election. He's like, guys, time out. What's going on here?
And folks, everybody, you all go to Walmart. I think you can go vote.
Exactly. Thank you. No,
yeah, that's right.
That's right. Well said. Hans, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, okay?
Sure. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. And you can find Hans's work at heritage.org, and the last name is SPAKOVKSY. Hans von Spigoski. Got it.
Well done.
Got it. All right. Mighty Hand Construction coming up next. And they want to take care of all of your needs when it comes to your roof. They'll do a free roof inspection. They're hiring as well. So if you've got any type of ability to do that work, they would love to chat with you as well. Give them a call, 970-844-9191.
We at KLZ confidently endorse Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction, because we know that when you hire Mighty Hand, you will receive exactly the kind of service that we promised you on the radio. Most contractors, when they come up with advertising, think about what their customers want to hear. Micah and his team focus on how they can represent themselves accurately. That's why Micah puts such a strong emphasis on hiring character first, so he knows how every customer will be treated, whether or not he's personally involved. At Mighty Hand, their passion and dedication are more than just lip service. Their number one goal is to be who they say they are. Entrust your roofing and construction projects in northern Colorado to Micah and his team at Mighty Hand Construction. We know they'll prove to be exactly who they say they are. Go to klzradio.com/mightyhand now. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Gino's Auto Service, that's Gino's with a J. Good friend of mine, Steve Horvath, is the owner. He would love to help you out with any of your needs. It's ginosautoservice.com, 303-794-6700. Again, 303-794-6700.
Hot Colorado weather is here, and now is a good time to get your car's air conditioning system in shape for the summer. Are your Freon levels adequate? Gino's Auto in Littleton is here to help. Save $35 on Gino's air conditioning service through the month of July. Take advantage of their free battery check and Napa Auto Care's $25 gift card with the installation of a new car battery. Gino's Auto Service is celebrating 37 years in business, all thanks to their great customers for the support. Geno's is continuing to service Larry's Automotive customers, meaning Geno's is able to maintain previous work and honor warranty work you may have had done at Larry's. Geno's offers loaner vehicles that have been deep cleaned for your protection, so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Geno's is a Colorado Select member and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Check out Geno's Google reviews or call with any questions. Visit Geno's online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Purify Chevrolet, again, it's a great weekend to go buy a car. The weather's going to be beautiful. You can go test drive, do whatever you need to, and it's like going back in time to buy a car. They would love to help you out. That's Purify Chevrolet. Find them online at purifychevrolet.com or call them at 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. You know, being in business for six decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purifoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purifoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
It's all in the app. Download the free KLZ 560 app at Google Play and the App Store.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and on the line is Joe. Mr. Lichtansky, how are you today?
Guys, I'm just fine. But hey, John, I got to tell you something. If you're going to keep having bleeding heart liberals like Andy on the show, I'm going to have to switch over to Rachel Maddow.
You might have to.
I am scary. Hey.
A couple things on voter fraud. If your listeners Google the phrase dead people voting, they're going to find news reports from places like Chicago and L.A. where they have documented people have died 10 years ago, have been voting in every election since their death 10 years ago. It's real simple. Just put dead people voting. You'll see stories out of L.A., stories out of Chicago. Interesting, no stories out of conservative cities. The other thing, I just sent you another art. Actually, I sent you two. I sent you one before I realized you were going to talk about this, about some woman in Illinois who pre-checked Democrat on 300 or 400 ballots that before they got sent out. But what's even more disturbing is, as required by federal law, states that do mail-in voting are required to, quote, maintain their voter registration list. Well, several states, I think Ohio was one, Indiana, Wisconsin, start a program where if you hadn't voted in the last three elections, which is 6 years, two presidential elections and one midterm, they sent you a postcard. Please confirm that you still live here, you know, at this address.
Sure.
And if you didn't answer the first, and these were prepaid, all you had to do was sign your name and drop it in the mailbox. If you didn't answer the first one, they sent you a second postcard. Well, if you haven't voted in three elections and you haven't returned either one of two prepaid postcards, then your name got removed. Well, liberals were screaming. I sent you an example of the article. If you just Google purging of voter rolls, you'll find all these hysterical stories. And I mean, there's hundreds of them by these liberal media outlets saying conservatives are trying to, you know, prevent poor people from voting by, quote, purging them from the voter rolls. And that's the big complaint you hear.
So, Joe, explain to me the mechanics of this. How does it prevent a poor person from voting when you send them a free return a card in the mail?
Well,
that doesn't cost
them
a dime.
It doesn't. Well, yeah, and what they're saying is they forget, it gets lost, they neglect to do it, and therefore they'll never get their mail-in ballot, and they don't have the transportation means to get to a polling place. Therefore, you're denying them the right to vote.
The transportation means? They can just put it back in the mail. It'll be taken back.
No, but they're saying more poor people have to vote by mail because they lack the access to transportation to get to an in-person polling place.
Oh, I see.
And if they don't see the postcards, well, then, you know, tough luck. If you want to be a voter in this country, you have to take some responsibility And if you're not going to vote in the last three elections and you ignore two postcards, well then, you know.
Tough niggies.
You forfeited your right.
And let's get right down to it. What the Democrats want to do is fraud. Those who have not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm Joe Blow. I haven't, you know, voted in 3, 4, or 5 elections, right? Which means I have no idea what happens with my vote. I would never check to see what happens with my vote. I wouldn't track it. You know, you can track your vote online and so forth.
Right.
I would never do that, which means they can cheat with my vote.
Right.
Very easily. And that's why they don't want those voter rolls purged. Am I right, Joe?
Correct. And you're also with me with ballot harvesting, right? If you take an apartment complex with high turnover, now I've moved 5 times in my adult life, and never once have I gone back to the place where I used to vote and say, hey, you don't live there anymore, take me off your voter rolls. I've never done that.
Right.
So if you live in an apartment house and you're the third resident of that apartment in the past 6 years, and your previous 2 tenants are registered to vote, well, guess what? You're going to get 3 ballots in the mailbox, one for you and one for at least one, if not 2, if they're a married couple, for the people who occupied that apartment prior to you. And guess what? The majority of apartment house renters tend to be Democrats, not Republicans, because they tend to be more residential homeowners. So if you live in an apartment complex, chances are you're going to get multiple ballots addressed to people other than you, and you can harvest those ballots and send them in. Happens all the time.
It happens, I think, even here more so than we know, Joe.
John, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's one of the problems I think we have in Colorado as well, as yes, that does happen here as well.
But you can also Google ballot harvesting. Mm-hmm. And you can find all sorts of studies and cases where, you know, they found, you know, multiple ballots being sent to the same address, different names, same address, all coming back with forged signatures. So that's another thing you can harvest is ballot harvesting.
Now, all Trump really was trying to do, and I believe this is what he was doing, is, you know, raise awareness to the not only the public but the press that, hey, if we don't do something about this, here's what potentially can happen. That's exactly what he was looking at, I think.
It is.
Yeah, and he came out, you know, right afterward and said, hey, no, I don't want to change the date, period. I mean, how can he be more clear?
No, he couldn't. And it was his original tweet ended in a question mark. It wasn't a statement. It was a question mark. It's obviously, should we consider this? But, you know, everybody likes to have their hair on fire. Can we switch topics for a second?
Sure. Go ahead.
Tay Anderson, you know, the other day, one of the other hosts was asking, you know, she was upset by how the news calls these people that they are people, quote, experiencing homelessness. Like this is something that happened to them beyond their control. And she was saying, you know, this is crap. These people have chosen this lifestyle. They're drug addicts. You could offer them a room, hot shower, 3 meals a day, you know, 2 miles outside the city, and they wouldn't take it because they prefer to live on the street. So I came up with the term willfully vagrant. These people are not experienced. But Tay Anderson blew me out of the water last night, a new phrase I've never heard before. He referred to these homeless people in this confrontation in the park as our, quote, our unhoused neighbors. How's that for a euphemism?
It's like undocumented workers.
Unhoused neighbors.
Yes, I'm standing up for our unhoused neighbors. I mean, I've heard a lot of euphemisms in my time, but unhoused neighbors, I throw up my hands, I give up. I can't top unhoused neighbors.
So they're housing challenged.
Housing.
Yeah, they're housing challenged. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, they're housing challenged.
Oh my gosh!
They're not. They're in a lot of cases. I mean, we've even had some of these folks on, you know, call into the show before. They're not housing challenged. A lot of them choose to just live that way, Joe and Andy.
Right. But, well, here's a question: if you're either a drug addict or an alcoholic, and you need your drugs, you need your alcohol, and I offered you a cot in a barracks, 3 meals a day, basic medical care, and a hot shower, but it was two miles outside of town. You couldn't get your drugs. You couldn't get your quart of vodka. How many people would say, what percentage would you say, no, thank you, I prefer to stay here?
90.
Yes. For those that have that sort of addiction, I would agree with that. At least, who's going to leave the street if they're, you know, who's going to swap 3 meals a day, warm bed, and a hot shower if they can't get their fix or their bottle of vodka?
Well, let me ask you guys this. What is your solution? What would you do if you ruled the world?
in regard to
the homeless. And I'm talking not just the homeless who are down there. I'm talking also, as Joe was saying, the drug addicted, the alcohol addicted. What would you do? What demands would you play on them?
First of all, and Joe, get your opinion on this, but first of all, and this was a problem that Ronald Reagan, in my opinion, one of the things that he did not do well back in the day, and I'm not one for taking tax dollars and just blowing them, you all know that, but the one thing that I don't think we put enough money into is the mental health end of things. And what I mean by that is a lot of those folks that are on the streets, and my guys just, Richard and Walt, Richard can attest, I just experienced this the other day on a job site where there was a mentally ill individual there. The police had to come. They had to take the mentally ill person away. And you could tell from the conversation the police were having with this particular individual, it's not the first time this happens. It happens on a regular basis. We're spending lots of money and resources already when it comes to trying to handle mentally ill individuals. And a lot of those folks are homeless because they're not capable of taking care of themselves. And Joe, frankly, Joe and Andy, we don't do as a country near enough in that area as far as I'm concerned.
Couldn't agree more, John. And that's the other bucket. You know, the first bucket was those that have some sort of chemical addiction. And the second big bucket is those people who are mentally ill, can't take care of themselves, and they certainly can't hold a job. And therefore, they have no means. And if you can't hold a job, you can't pay for an apartment.
Right.
So those are the two big buckets, in my opinion.
Okay, let me think not about them for a second, but thinking about the businesses.
Okay.
I would put my tax dollars toward removing them from the streets in whatever way is needed. And if that means rehab, which they would fail over and over, I understand that. But tax-funded rehab, tax-funded housing, tax-funded whatever it takes to get them off the street so that our downtown is not Portland, so that our downtown thrives and the businesses boom.
You're right. Somehow, and I know it's a big topic, this is where this gets a little bit, you know, in-depth and hard to answer in a 2 or 3 minute conversation, but you've got to overall broadly fix several things. One, the mental health end of things that we don't put near enough effort and or money into, as, in my opinion, across the country and as a society, we don't help those individuals enough. On the same token, you just can't let people willy-nilly live wherever they feel like and defecate everywhere and have tent cities everywhere. You also can't do that. Somewhere you've got to find a happy medium to where you're protecting the businesses that are bringing in the revenue to take care of them in the first place, if we're taking care of them like we should be. So you've got to fix, in the way I look at it, Joe, is it's a seesaw. You've got to fix both sides of this where you're balancing it out. You can't let them all live on the streets. On the same token, we can't house everyone, nor should we. But those that can't house themselves, we should be helping out. Those that should be working, they need to go find a job.
Exactly. And I'm a big fan of the old Ben Franklin, that sometimes we make poverty too comfortable. You know the quote I'm talking about. That we should make poverty uncomfortable.
Now, we should make it very uncomfortable so you don't want to live there.
Exactly. Now, if I were king...
Sorry, you just don't want to live there. Yeah.
If I were king and I was, you know, and I controlled the judges, I would say, hey, when we arrest you for possession of illegal drug or public drunkenness, I'm going to sentence you to 30 days in a rehab facility. And you're going to go, you're going to get clean, we're going to give you methadone, we're going to treat you, we're going to get you cleaned up, and while you're there, you have to attend classes every day. We're going to teach you a skill, whether it be putting up sheetrock, you know, fixing small lending. We're going to teach a skill. Now, is there going to be recidivism? You know, are you going to go back on the street and maybe relapse? Yeah, but then we're going to arrest you for possession of drugs, and we're going to send you back another time.
Right.
So maybe out of 12 months of the year, instead of being on the street for 12 months of the year, maybe you're only on the street for 8 weeks out of the year. That would really cut down the problem. And hopefully sooner or later, some of these people would not slip backwards and say, you know, I really like sleeping in a warm bed and taking a hot shower, and I know I now have a job skill. I know how to put up sheetrock. I know how to fix a small.
And as real quick, Joe, as a side note to that, we have some, you know, ministries and/or some charitable organizations right here in Denver that, by the way, are doing exactly what you're talking about. We just don't publicize that enough. We don't talk about it enough. And frankly, that's where, if you want to take some tax dollars and go do something to help out, that's where we could funnel some money in, is help these organizations that are already doing what you just talked about.
Step 12, but you know their problem is they don't want to take tax dollars because they want to be free.
And I get that. But again, if we opened even some of that up and in a way deregulated some of those attachments that go into that money that go to some of these organizations, you could easily, you know, Bud's Warehouse. There's all sorts of places in town that are doing a lot of the things that you're talking about, Joe. We just need to give them more freedom to do what they do.
You know, exactly. Guys, if I may, I would gladly put tax dollars toward everything that you're saying right now and think what it would do for the downtown. Forget about these folks for a moment. I love them. I care about all people. But right now, let's think about the businesses that are being destroyed. This is not something we should do. This is something we must do. And I have one more question for you guys, and maybe you want to hold this over the break. John, you let me know. What about another group, these people who are begging at street corners and intersections?
And that's an easy one. Don't even need any time in the next segment for this. Outlaw that nonsense.
I would ban it all.
Because here's the thing. The majority of them aren't even homeless, and I've experienced this and watched this for my own with my own two eyes. I've seen, you know, individuals that stand on a street corner with a sign, walk around to a parking lot, hop into a brand new pickup truck, and leave. So in a lot of cases, these folks are not homeless. And by the way, those of you listening, stop giving them things. Stop giving them money and food. And typically, they won't take anything other than cash anyways, which are already, to me, is an indicator that the only reason they're there is for cash.
No, give that money to save the children.
Thank you.
Actually help people.
Thank you, yes. Yeah, that's an easy answer.
What
Andy.
Do you think, Joe?
Yep, I agree 100% with John. Give it to people that will provide them with services. Give it to Save the Children. Give it to the Salvation Army. Or give it to Step 12. Don't hand it out to them. If they need that stuff, they can go to any of those organizations and get it and get what they need from those organizations.
Yeah, but I'm a commie liberal, so I'm going to take John's wallet and give them his money.
Hell, I'll take no after I only after I take John's money.
Yeah. There you go. Joe, as always, good stuff. I appreciate it very much. We can come back and kind of recap that, Andy. Great question, by the way, that you just asked on the as far as what goes on the street corners. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. If you're interested in a different mortgage, you want to lower your rate, you want to save some money and even change some things, or maybe your length of time isn't any different, but you can save money monthly, talk to Kurt today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something that is very true. I know you've been listening to me. I've been talking about looking at a different house for, you know, some business things I've got going on. And I'll just tell you right now, flat out, I'm a man. I'm not a woman. We all know that. But I will tell you what. Even with that, when I walk into a house, one of the first things I look at, two things, bathrooms, kitchen. Those two things are at the top of my list as to how the rest of the house is going to work and flow, and do I want to even proceed with looking at the rest of it?
John, let me double down on that. Corey and I have had a lot of visitors lately coming over to our house, and the guys, every single time, where's the first place they went to look?
The kitchen.
The kitchen.
Again, guys, if you want to have that type of kitchen, go to Enchanted Kitchens. They can help you with that. It's enchantedkitchens.net or klzradio.com/kitchens.
Your kitchen doesn't work. Think about how much time you spend in your kitchen every day, just standing at your countertops or reaching into your cabinets. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens looks beyond color palettes and materials to help you find a layout that works, so you can have a pleasant experience in your kitchen, not a frustrating or uncomfortable one. The Enchanted Kitchens design team understands that a new kitchen is a big investment, and one that you need to love for years to come. That's why they take their time with the decision-making process, meeting with you for free in their Experience Center, so you can see, touch, and feel a kitchen that works. Mention Rush to Reason, and you will receive a free, no-obligation, in-home design consultation. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens now and start designing a kitchen that works. Enchanted Kitchens, where magic meets design.
Flesh and Beck, Kevin Flesh, he would love to help you out with all of your legal needs. In fact, if you're involved in any kind of an accident, things aren't going well, you're not getting the insurance company or the other side to do what it needs to do, you can get that handled with Kevin. He will represent you, go to court if needed. He is not afraid to do that. He is trial tested, trial ready. That's Kevin Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H, 303-806-8886.
Take it from KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. You should always call the police, no matter how small your accident may seem. Here's why.
The experience that I've had is once you say, listen, I want to have the police called, and if a person gets nervous about that, you know that you're immediately dealing with a different situation. If the person is like, well, that's fine, I'll wait around as well, and we can get it documented, no problem, then you know you're also dealing with a credible person too. And so it's a really good litmus test to see how that person reacts.
Always call the police right away. Then call KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886. Injuries happen all the time, quarantine or no quarantine. So put this number in your phone now, 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Trial tested, trial ready. Flesh and Beck Law, they get results.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John, I got great news.
What?
Denver is finally, Colorado is finally going to declare racism a public health crisis. Not just a hazard. Oh, no.
Just what we need.
It's a crisis.
And it's not.
This is from the Denver Post. Colorado will declare racism a public health crisis following a push by staffers inside the Colorado Department of Public Health office. In other words, a bunch of libs.
Yeah.
They've been pressing Executive Director Jill Hunsicker Ryan, Jill of the Hun, I shall call her.
Jill of the Hun, here we go. To make
such a public declaration and become increasingly frustrated when she didn't move faster to do so. When asked about this week's internal conversations, Jill of the Hun told the Denver Post the state will join the American Public Health Association, another leftist group, in declaring racism a public health crisis, and that will become formal policy within the health department. Now, among other things, they say they're going to increase diversity in the department's workforce, which is almost 78% white. Well, that's horrible, John, since, you know, the state is over 76% white. But, you know, if you're white there, get ready. You're gone. They're going to fire you. They're going to fire you. Forget about the job you've done all these years. Forget about your, you know, your kids who you're taking care of. You're gone because they're going to bring in somebody else as a quota hire, much like Joe Biden. Joe Biden picks vice presidents.
That's a fact.
This is ridiculous. And by the way, it's a health crisis. How do you catch racism? I mean, how do you prevent it? Do you wear a mask? What do you do? I know you wear goggles, and they got to be colored over so you can't see people's race.
First of all, you can't fix stupid, by the way. We already know that. So if somebody's a racist and they're stupid, you're not going to fix that. So the reality is you're not going to fix them anyways.
And sadly, stupid is contagious.
Stupid is contagious.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is. Look at what's going on with COVID. Yes, stupid is very contagious. So, all right, we'll come right back. We got one little segment left is all. Extreme Auto Repair is next. Don't forget, they've got a great deal going on right now with alignments. Get your alignment inspected, all for $69.95. That's the August special. And yes, August is tomorrow. ExtremeAutoRepair.com, 303-841-1071.
Head to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker before you leave on your road trip and get your vehicle checked for free. In the past few months, you've been putting off vehicle maintenance because you've been a little more worried about money than usual, and for good reason. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will never use scare tactics or try to pressure you into repairs that you don't need. However, However, they do want to help you plan ahead to avoid bigger expenses down the road. Yes, your brake pads might last a little longer, but you don't want to pay to replace those rotors. Right now, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will gladly give you advice for free about which repairs should happen sooner and which ones could wait for another day. Call 303-841-1071 or visit extremeautorepair.com now. Be sure to tell Mike and Dave at the front desk that you listen to Rush to Reason when you ask for your free trip inspection, including 27 items checked this month only, not valid with any other offer. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises kept.
Listen to KLZ anytime, anywhere with the free KLZ 560 app. Get it now for Android and iPhone.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We got one call coming in, just a teeny bit of time left, about 1 minute is all. So, Charlie, if you can get that up and we can make that happen quickly, we will. Otherwise, you're heading to where?
I'm heading to South Dakota. Remember, we talked about Escape Colorado Tuesday. And one of the states we talked to is South Dakota. I'm heading there. I'm going to go to Deadwood.
It'll be fun. Looking forward to it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Who? Oh, Chris, you're up next. What's going on, Chris? Got a minute.
You can't fix stupid, but duct tape sure will quiet it down.
Oh, love that one. Yes.
That'll send us off for the weekend.
Yeah, that'll work.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate that very much. Can't fix stupid, but you can actually use some duct tape.
Right? Will shut it down.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not trying to say, folks, that we can't, you know, help, you know, people that are racist to get over some of their particular, you know, ends of things that way, and teach them and train them and so on. But the reality is, if you are not trained to not look at color, and you were trained as a child to look at color, those are hard things to get out of a person's being.
Absolutely, John. And let's face it, these staffers there at that agency who are calling for all this, what do you think they are? They're racist.
They're racist for doing this in the first place.
They're total racist.
Thank you. So, all right, with that, have a good time in South Dakota.
Will do.
Enjoy it. Charlie, have a great weekend. If you missed the first hour, please catch it next. Otherwise, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for Fix It Radio. Call us with all of your problems around the house. We'll handle that. And then we'll be here for Drive Radio as well. So we'll see you tomorrow morning. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.